This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
He's going to join us, bottom of the hour. Little bit on the playoffs, just more on the Vikings because they're so in the news. They have reached out to 8 candidates. All are young. It is a diverse set of individuals. No one has run a team before. It is a different approach than the Vikings have taken before. We don't know who else is helping the Vikings, if anyone. Mark Wilf, the other day in the press conference, we cared about the dismissal of Spielman and Zimmer, said they were looking just internally and relying on folks to help them out. Is that it? Are they relying on others? Be very curious, because some of these folks within the front office would like that job themselves. So it's interesting. Adam's going to rejoin the mix in about 15 minutes. We're waiting to chat with Stephen Vladeck. Do we have Steve yet? Beautiful. Stephen Vladeck has been our go-to guy in the Supreme Court for a number of years, and truly across this country. He is one of the top voices on federal courts, Supreme Court in particular. He holds the Charles Allen Wright Chair in federal courts at the University of Texas Law School. Steve, always a pleasure. At about this time yesterday, we had the decisions from the Supreme Court on a vaccine mandate for businesses. It was 6-3 against for businesses on the healthcare side. The mandate was upheld 5-4. Just tell me about the split and what stood out most to you about Roberts and Kavanaugh switching positions.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's perhaps the most important point off the top, which is 7 of the 9 justices would have voted the same way in both cases. 7 of the 9 justices, 3 of the justices would have allowed both mandates. Mm-hmm. 4 of them would have struck down both mandates, and you have Roberts and Kavanaugh splitting the difference. They don't tell us why. You know, I think you can construct an argument, Chad, for why it's even less of a stretch to find authority for the healthcare vaccination mandate for, healthcare providers who are receiving funds from the federal government through the Medicare or Medicaid programs to be required to be vaccinated than the OSHA case. But I got to say, I mean, these are both pretty landmark decisions, not just for vaccines, not just for COVID, but for the future of administrative law and of, the power of administrative agencies to exercise authority that Congress has delegated to them.
So I want to get to that part in a little bit, because you know it immensely better than me. So I'm curious to hear you saying that. On the fact that this is an unsigned majority opinion on the issue regarding businesses, and it's such a vitally important issue in our country today, is that a surprise?
Not really. I mean, we've talked before about the rise of what folks call the shadow docket. The idea that the Supreme Court is deciding more and more important cases through orders, and the orders are usually unsigned. This was an emergency application. It was, asking the court to step in a context where, until these cases, the court would not have usually even held argument. So I'm not surprised that the opinions we got were unsigned. I actually, for length and for detail, this is probably about what I would have expected. When you have, you know, cases that came to the court in this way, I mean, we haven't had the Supreme Court hear oral argument on one of these emergency applications since 1970. So,
wow.
You know, the justices, I think, were clearly trying to do more than usual with regard to one of these emergency applications, I think reflecting the gravity of the case. But we're still left to, you know, do a little bit of tea leaf reading about exactly which justices were where and about why they, you know, signed on to some parts of the opinion but not others.
Okay, and just a reminder, as Steve Vladeck is with us, the outstanding professor from University of Texas, on the two different rulings, Supreme Court yesterday, on the Biden mandate for the vaccine or testing. It does not prevent businesses from doing this. So let's be clear. I've received a few emails and texts, and it ends at, no, it's up to individual businesses to do this. So let me read. Yeah, go ahead on that, Steve.
No, or even states. I mean, I think this is the key.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this is yesterday's decision does not mean that you can walk into your business tomorrow and say, no, boss, I'm not complying with your rules. Right. Yesterday's decision was, from the perspective of vaccine mandates, very narrow. It was just about this OSHA rule that was going to require large employers who weren't already imposing their own vaccination mandates to do it anyway. So, you know, Chad, in Minnesota, in other states, in some cities, you know, there are going to be still vaccine mandates on the books. I think what yesterday's decision does is it takes off the table a federal requirement for those employers who don't want to and for those businesses located in jurisdictions that haven't adopted mandates of their own.
So that was right where I was leading to, because yesterday on our show, late, the mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Frey, joined us. Minneapolis and St. Paul in tandem, Steve, a couple days ago, announced starting next Wednesday in bars and restaurants and other entertainment venues where food or drinks are served, that either you have to show that you have a vaccine or show a negative test in the last 72 hours. When I asked Mayor Frey, I said, do you believe this has any effect, that this decision has any effect on what you and Melvin Carter, the mayor of St. Paul, has offered up? He said, I don't believe so, but we're still checking. From what you're saying, it sounds like this should not affect Minneapolis and St. Paul from what they are trying to implement next week.
That's right. And just to drive home why the mayor is exactly right, the actual decision the Supreme Court wrote yesterday was all about the scope of the Occupational Safety and Health Act, the 1970 statute that created OSHA and on which the OSHA rule was based. There's nothing in that opinion that says anything contrary about local vaccine requirements, about state vaccine requirements, even about private employer vaccine requirements. So, you know, if the city of Minneapolis, the city of St. Paul, Hennepin County, the state of Minnesota, if they want to have their own rules, there's nothing in yesterday's decision that says otherwise. And in fact, I mean, I actually even think there's language in both the majority opinion and Justice Neil Gorsuch's concurring opinion that open the door for local and state governments to make their own choices.
Hmm. Oh, okay. Let me read to you what you know. I'm all reading for the audience. Part of what the minority said in the dissent of the 6-3, and it picks up on what you said earlier. Underline everything else in this dispute, what Breyer, Sotomayor, and Kagan wrote, is a single simple question. Who decides how much protection and what kind American workers need from COVID-19? An agency with expertise in workplace health and safety acting as Congress and the President authorized, or a court lacking any knowledge of how to safeguard workplaces and insulated from responsibility for any damage it causes. Amplify that and what this means potentially for other rulings, other every bit as important rulings along these same lines moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to what really is the fundamental question that we teach first-year law students about what is the role of the courts? You know, when should a court decide for itself the wisdom of a policy, the efficacy of a policy, and when should the court defer to, you know, the folks we've elected to make those choices. In this case, you know, President Biden and the director of OSHA, who he appointed to make those choices. And, you know, there was a long period of time from, I don't know, the 1930s to the 1990s, where the Supreme Court took a pretty hands-off approach to these kinds of questions, where, you know, if we weren't talking about laws that discriminate on the basis of religion or race or sex, if we weren't talking about, you know, laws that ran afoul of explicit individual rights, the Supreme Court widely deferred, even when it disagreed. And I think what we're seeing in yesterday's decision, and frankly, I think in a lot more of what the Supreme Court's been doing lately, is the justices no longer willing to defer and substituting their own judgments about what is good policy and what is bad policy for those of the policymakers. And that's why I don't think it's a surprise that as the court has turned to the right, we're seeing these results. These are, you know, the folks who are using their own judgment have judgments that are shaped by their politics. But I think that's a dangerous road to go down because, you know, it's not just that courts are unaccountable, contrary to our elected officials. It's that courts aren't scientists. Courts aren't experts. You know, if you gave me a choice between epidemiologists and Neil Gorsuch 100%. And Sonia Sotomayor about who I'm going to trust to make public health decisions, it's not a close one for me.
No, no matter where you stand politically or who you're more aligned with judiciously, I want to trust the experts. You're great as always, Steve. Thank you so much. I appreciate the time. Have a good weekend. We'll reach out soon.
Thanks for having me.
Steve Vladek from Texas Law School. Adam pointing out, sending me a text, Theo Keith with this, who does a great job covering local politics. Mayor Fry backing up what he said on our show yesterday, that they have officially eliminated the requirement for 2 to 4 year olds be tested. I pushed him on that, and you can go back and listen to that interview. He confirmed it yesterday, now has made it official. And also, Theo, from what Mayor Fry has offered up in Minneapolis, eliminates the requirement that hospitality workers be vaxxed or tested after the Supreme Court ruling. Now, again, you just heard Steve Vladek say this is separate. So it is kind of interesting. I want to get Adam and Dan to chime in on it. So if you go next week to Minneapolis or St. Paul, maybe go to what I still think is the best. If I had to pick one restaurant to go to today in this state, it's in St. Paul. It's Meritage. I go to Meritage. The workers don't have to be vaxxed or tested. I do. Because that's what it says.
Yes.
Eliminates the requirement that hospitality workers be vaxxed or tested.
And didn't, and as I was sending you that tweet, your guest was saying that he thought that these held up, though, right?
He said it's very clear in there that this enforces what cities, states and businesses can do on their own.
Yeah.
This is just specifically for OSHA.
Okay.
So I got to be honest, I'm going with Steve Vladek more than I'm going with the cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul, because Melvin Carter announced a similar change about an hour ago, right? So
yesterday, I thought that happened yesterday, but I could be wrong.
Did it on the work? No. They never had the kids testing.
Right.
I thought it was today, maybe it was yesterday, where they eliminated the testing and vaccine for workers. Isn't that pretty odd that the two of us can go to Meritage? We got to be vaxxed or show a test. But if you work there, you don't.
That does seem a little inconsistent.
Kind of like this whole COVID episode, right? It just adds to how bizarre this whole experience has been. More Adam and Dan when we come back. It's typical of where we stand in this country, too, when one of the points regarding COVID and four or more comorbidities, which has been proven to be taken completely out of context, and it's been proven over and over again, even though the CDC have been highly critical of their communication skills. But it doesn't even matter anymore, Adam, when something is said and you think, whoa, wait a second. And then there's some actual journalism on it and it's proven incorrect. that folks who just want to see it the one way, they don't change because they just want to stick with
yeah.
it if it suits them politically.
Perfect example, Joe Rogan. Did you see the video clip? He's got that guest who proved him wrong. And Joe Rogan was looking it up online. He's like, whoa, yeah, you're right. I guess you're right.
I give Rogan credit, for playing it out.
Yep.
Saying, hey, I thought it was different, but having his show bring it up so everybody could see it and for the other individual to show that Rogan was wrong.
Yep.
What happens more often with the Tucker Carlsons of the world, if somebody does that, I just scream at him, shut him down, never have him on again. The same thing with the Walensky quote, which was taken out of context. Day after day after day, Carlson kept using it, even though it was clearly proven that it was distorted. And that, by the way, that doesn't change how behind the CDC has been of late and justifiable and factual criticism that's offered up. Okay, let's talk South St. Paul.
Yeah.
And what's going on with the basketball program? Because I meant to get to this yesterday. We had so much going on. It's a pretty significant story. Tell people.
It is. I mean, you know, South St. Paul historically has been a hockey town when it comes to winter sport. They had success, you know, in the 60s and early 70s, but obviously it was a hockey town in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s. That's changed over the last couple of years because there's the young men who now play for basketball in South St. Paul. They've turned that program around, and they were undefeated last year until they lost in the, I think, section finals. They're undefeated again this year. And the big reason is because of the coach, Matt McAllister. And McAllister, who's an attorney, just over the last few days was charged in a federal court to conspiracy to commit health care fraud. And, in fact, he is pleading guilty to that, and he's resigned his position as head basketball coach of South St. Paul. They're in the midst of a season. They're undefeated right now, 11-0. And I just – seeing that story and seeing the success that team has had, I just feel bad for those kids who play on that team who've obviously have something special going on and I'm sure are believing in their coach separate from whatever he's got going on in his professional life. And, you know, Jimmy Francis, who obviously is the mayor, everybody knows Jimmy who comes on this show, he had a great idea. He pointed out to me, he had the same thought, you know, these kids – I think they play home on Tuesday night against Tartan, and he was saying, you know, try to find as many people as we can to show up at the gym. It's probably they get a lot of fans anyway, but just to make sure those kids know that they're supported, you know, with the just dealing with this adversity through no fault of their own and just trying to support them. But it's a really special story. Alonzo Dodd is a hell of a basketball player. He's one of the great players on that team, and just it's unfortunate that they're going through this, but just hopefully, you know, they can get through this and with their assistant coach who's taken over now and have success this season.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up. And I watched the end of the Gopher basketball game the other night against Michigan State, and my point was, yes, they didn't win the game. Anybody's listened to me for 5 minutes over the last 31 years in this town knows I'm not a moral victory guy. I'm not like this station has been throughout its history. Almost everybody just carries the water for the U of M. I'm not that at all. It's win games, but also being realistic. Ben Johnson had nobody back, literally nobody back, and convinced Eric Curry to come back. And then they are signing guys who have showed they can play Big Ten basketball, but they weren't playing anywhere near it. And there was a bad defense play made by Willis, backdoor cut. He was staring at another Michigan State player. And I made the point, hey, they still have exceeded expectations. It's a loss. I don't want to hear any referee complaining. And let's see where it goes. And again, I got 5 tweets. Oh, Izzo gets every call. And then I got a bunch of others. Well, it's all about players. To act like coaching doesn't matter is utterly ridiculous. because it does. It can revitalize it. But you could put John Wooden in his prime out there, and if you don't have the players, mm-hmm. you have no chance. You'd be better. You could say the right things. So I think that's a fabulous idea on Tuesday. You said against Tartan?
They're home against Tartan. I'm not sure the game time, but, yeah, just, you know, pack the gym, show those kids that, you know, they got their back. So I think it was a great idea by the mayor.
Well, I have one other suggestion because I've been lucky enough to be around smart basketball minds my entire life and feel fortunate. The smartest basketball mind I've ever met is Adam Carter.
Yeah. Yes.
And I think it's time for you to step forward, to step in the breach and say, like Alexander Haig,
I'm in charge.
I'm now in charge.
I'm in charge.
I am now in charge. Are you willing to do
that? Put the ball in the basket as many times as you can. Let's try that strategy.
This goes back to the – I don't know if you know this. I was part of the Chad and Barrero show.
Yes.
And we had this sidekick named Dan Cole. And this guy would say, you know, defense isn't that hard. You just have to prevent a guy from getting the ball.
Yeah.
If Michael Jordan doesn't get the ball, he can't score.
Can't score.
And we ridiculed him, and then Sam Mitchell came on and pretty much agreed with Common. That's all you have to say. You score, and don't let their best player get the ball.
Stop them from scoring.
Yeah. Pretty simple.
Yep.
All right, I'm going out in the snow to help Q off the bus. Do you wish me luck?
Good luck to you.
Or I fall, land a concussed, never the same, and it's your show moving forward. Which do you want to happen?
Give me a week. So, I mean, I'd love, you know, if you're injured, we'll see how well you respond to treatment and how you are on the air.
Yeah.
But if I can pull an Alexander Haig there, too. I'm in control.
Yeah. Is there a galooly outside the driveway, are you suggesting?
Yes.
Adam with the weather, then our guy, Mr. Diet Dr. Pepper, Matthew Collar, Purple Insider next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Okay, a little longer break there, and we'll just pull the curtain back and tell you. We are planning on doing this conversation with our guy, Mr. Purple Insider, Matthew Collar, on StreamYard on video, but we're having email issues, so we cannot do it. Matthew is with us today. If you are a Purple Insider subscriber, and you should be, it's a great, great value. And even now with the Vikings done, but the playoffs going on, the GM and coaching search, probably a higher priority for great information and podcasts, mailbags, and stories for Purple Insider now than at any point. But today, is it possible you set some sort of mailbag question record? 130 questions to you on the Minnesota Vikings.
Okay, so the guy who helps me out with social media, Jonathan Harrison, did the math a little bit wrong there and made it sound a little better than it was. It was actually 65 questions, but I had to split it up into two parts. So he thought that meant 130. So it was 65 questions. But, yes, I think that is a mailbag record.
So a typical media member lying to the public. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. That's what I was trying to mislead to get more subscribers. It's a dirty game, but you gotta, you know, you can't play by the rules.
Okay. Let's try it this way. The question from the audience which intrigued you the most was?
Well, you know, I think that the really good questions from people were about what type of leader they should be looking for and how important it is to sort of change the culture from what it's been in recent years. Because I think that especially with Eric Kendricks' comments and, you know, some of the stuff that's sort of come out about the way that things were operating even in the front office and between Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman, I think Mark Wilf made it pretty clear in his comments that they want much more of a collaborative effort, and I don't think he picked that word out of a hat. I had heard in recent years that a lot of people sort of felt left out of the party with the decision-making, that it was kind of Rick and Mike were calling the shots, and that was that. And if we're doing that contract, we're doing that contract, and it doesn't matter what the analytics department has to say or you know, other people that should have had valuable voices. I think that there were a lot of folks who were disgruntled because of that. But the other part of it is, isn't every candidate going to say that they want to collaborate, right? Like, I looked back at what Gerson Rosas says, you know, in his first press conference, and innovation and collaboration, like, those are the things that they always use. So figuring that out.
Everybody know. Yep.
Right. Like, who is actually going to be able to do that is very difficult. But I think that that part of it is really important, both from the head coach and from the GM. And to get on the same page, and this is where sort of Kirk Cousins comes into the mix, and I would say, you know, a third of the questions at least are about the quarterback future, is getting the GM, head coach, and quarterback on the same page, I think, is really important. Because in recent years, you had a head coach who couldn't stand the quarterback, a general manager who was desperate to make that signing actually right when, you know, it hasn't been, and a quarterback who I think was frustrated maybe by never getting offensive guards, probably, and by the lack of trust from his head coach. You can't have that. I mean, you look at a lot of the teams that are playing this weekend. Look at Buffalo. Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean, Josh Allen, all very much on the same page. Everybody knows that you're building that team around Josh Allen. That's it. It's not, I need corners and nose tackles. No, Mike, we need guards. No, you know, that sort of thing. I think getting everyone on the same page is really important. Who can do that? I'm not sure, but that's got to be a major focus of their interview.
Okay, so I'm going to agree with part of that. I'm going to push back on some. On getting in sync with the quarterback, I'm with you 100%. Here's where I'm going to push back, and it's what, you know, two of us covering sports and just being sports observers and fans forever, it happens all the time. It happens in Buffalo. It happens in Minneapolis. It happens in L.A., where owners or GMs do the opposite. Vikings a perfect example. Denny. For a while, Denny had a great relationship with the media. At the end, it was terrible. So then go to Tice. Well, then Tice would tell us the game plan. So go to Chili. Chili was tough. Then go to Leslie. Then go to Zim. I don't think you have to do the opposite just because the last guy became a bigger jerk at the end. I still say this, Matthew, find the best person. And if it turns out the best person is more of a Belichick type than a Sean McVay type, I'm going to hire him. I am. It's football. It is a brutal sport. There aren't many people who love Parcells, love Belichick, and I get that you have to adapt to the modern athlete. I, for my purposes of maybe having somebody on, or listen, my top priority is make him a story. My second priority is I want my guy Hagan to have a good relationship with the head coach. But I just worry that there's so much of the owners now saying collaborate, when I don't know if we have to go that far. And I think some of it, too, is when you get the malaise, we're asking valid questions, and the players will finally answer them. Maybe Zimmer just wasn't good enough, and if you bring a different type of kind of badass, he comes in, he's better, and it's not as much collaboration. It's just using the skills and getting better players.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get your point, but I also look around the NFL today, and I think that we're seeing a certain personality type work, not just within McVay, but also, you know, even like a Bruce Arians. This is not a young guy. John Harbaugh, yeah. not a young guy. Pete Carroll has had a lot of success in the league that are less of the parodies of Bill Parcells and more people who are interested in having relationships with their players and understanding what makes their players tick and what gets the most out of them. And I think that the real smoking gun with Mike Zimmer is Stephon Diggs and the fact that he's gone to Buffalo yep. in a very different atmosphere with a head coach who's no, like, nice, super nice guy, right? Sean McDermott. No. I mean, I think he forms no. relationships with his players, but that's a hard-nosed defensive coach, right? And yet he's been able to work really, really, really well with Stephon Diggs. I mean, they've gotten the most out of him. There's been no issues. There's been no headlines. And all the people who thought that Stephon Diggs was some sort of cancer maybe have come to realize that it was more of the head coach here than it was the wide receiver because of what's happened in Buffalo. So I do think that, yeah, getting a rah-rah, like trying to get PJ Fleck or something and having that be your top priority, no, that's not right. I mean, game planning is number one in the NFL above anything else. But I also think yep. that if you're game planning to the best abilities of your players, that often means understanding your players, working with them, and not, as Eric Kendricks said, having a fear-based type of atmosphere. I don't think that that's really working for anybody now. And all these players talk to each other. They know what everybody else has and how other buildings operate. And I think that every player wants to come to a place where they're going to be able to talk to the head coach and work with the head coach for what is best for them as a player, as opposed to, I'm the coach, you're the player, and deal with it.
Okay, I'll give you two examples in town where I think it's melding what we're saying. It's Chris Finch and it's Dean Evason, right? The two winter coaches. Evason is hired by Paul Fenton when Bruce Boudreau wanted no part of him, and they fired John Anderson. You're a hockey guy. You know all these names. And that was Boudreau's guy. Well, it was like the clock was ticking. Well, it turned out the clock was ticking for Bill Guerin. And what Evason has done is hold players very accountable, tough on them, also doesn't treat them in any way by kid gloves publicly, as we saw again recently with Kevin Fiala, but hasn't crossed that line. Finds a way to hold players accountable, is tough on him, isn't shy calling him up, but doesn't belittle him. Still has that rapport. I'm telling you, Chris Finch is that same type of guy for the Wolves, and no doubt the Wild have had more success. But last night's example, or the loss early in the week to New Orleans, when Finch just comes out and says, we weren't ready, we didn't play the game the right way, and I still know that organization better than anybody. He is harder on his star players than any. When Carl Towns is leading the world in offensive fouls, and it's nonsense that he still is, Finch is calling him out, but still has the respect. Pulling that off, where it isn't just the PJ type, but it's private and publicly, that's the home run they somehow need to hit.
Right, and figuring out which guy is going to be like that is difficult. But that's why I look at someone like Byron Leftwich, who played in the NFL, was a high draft pick yeah. in the NFL, and you know quarterback's going to be a huge part of this, and then has worked for Bruce Arians, who might be one of the best ever at striking the exact balance that you're talking mm-hmm. about. Like, Arians yes. is super gruff at times and is really blunt and honest at times, and yet has not had this problem with manipulating players. Or, you know, what Mike Zimmer did far too many times was dunk on guys who just didn't deserve it. I think that the Kellen Mond thing was one of many, but I mean, what did Kellen Mond do wrong to get slammed at the end of the year there after the Green Bay game by his head coach? That's not putting the onus on a star player to carry you. That's hammering some guy who played three snaps in the game for whatever reason. So I don't think that Zimmer did a great job over his tenure of striking that balance. It was far too much kind of on whatever his mood was and who he wanted to call out, and a lot of times who he wanted to blame for them losing, as opposed to saying, you know, we need better or whatever. It was just, it's not my fault, it's this guy's fault. And you're right how difficult that is. But I do think someone like Leftwich, and when you look around and see, I think Frank Reich is particularly good at this. You know, there's some former, you know, backup quarterbacks or quarterbacks who understand the player dynamic but also understand how to coach these guys hard to get the most out of them. You know, I think that there's probably five or six candidates that you could look at and say, well, that's probably the case with Leftwich. That's probably the case with Kellen Moore, with Eric Bieniemy, who know how to strike that balance, but also not go out of their way to cause controversies that were unnecessary, which Zimmer did on a number of occasions.
I got 60 seconds. I wish I had more time. The fact that they're interviewing younger, diverse, but nobody with GM position, what stands out to you about that?
Yeah, I think that they just want to be more cutting edge than they've been recently. I think that the Wilfs really pride themselves on that. And when you look at their stadium and you look at their facility, you know, I think, and even their giant draft board that they have, like they've done everything investment-wise to give these people the opportunity to be cutting edge, and then you have a team that's drafting a center in the first round. Like, I think that they want their next general manager not just to understand collaboration, but to also understand just value, just what is the price of a dollar in the NFL and what's it worth in cap space, and be able to make decisions based on that, not just like analytics, but understanding the value of stuff. I think that they fell behind in that area, both a coach and GM, and they want somebody who's up and coming and has sort of developed themselves in a more modern NFL than maybe Rick Spielman, who is kind of an old school scout.
Great stuff, man. Enjoy the playoffs. We'll probably talk more playoffs next week. The one game you most want to watch this weekend is?
I'm going to go Buffalo, New England. If it's snowing there, it could be great.
I agree. I am with you. All right, man. Enjoy the weekend. Matthew Collar, Purple Insider. I thoroughly enjoy it. You will also. Sign up right now. 257 is the Lindus Construction Time Check. Any issues with your gutters, clog gutters, reach out to Andy Lindus and Lindus Construction. A few years ago, they put a new roof on this house that I live in, and they did a fabulous job. Thank you, as always, for taking the time to listen. Paul and Jordana are next. I'm sure Paul will have plenty of news on the weather, the snow, expected to end in the metro area in the next couple hours. I will say this, it's snowing lighter here in Plymouth. And I think, Dan, that's all the people care about, how the snow might affect me and the
rest
of the
day. That's all I care about,
right?
For sure.
Thank you. Sincerely, thanks for listening, everybody. Enjoy the day, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.